Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I am Jack, an urban explorer, and that day my team and I entered an old abandoned school known for its strange past. We came prepared with cameras and recorders expecting to find evidence of unexplained events rather than wild legends. The building's reputation for odd sounds and unexplained activity was our only lead. The structure showed its age in every detail, cracked walls, peeling paint, and deserted halls. There was nothing dramatic about its appearance, just a rundown building left to decay. I kept my focus on the mission and nothing more. Our crew consisted of Alex, Mark, and David. We split up to cover more ground, each determined to record anything that might explain the rumors. We were all professionals, relying on facts and evidence rather than wild assumptions. The silence of the empty corridors was only broken by our measured footsteps. Every sound was noted, every room scanned, all in a cold, matter-of-fact manner. There was no room for theatrics in our investigation. In the main hall, we picked up distinct sounds, footsteps and voices that resembled those of children at play. The noises were clear on our recorders, even if no children were visible. We noted every detail, aware that even a small discrepancy could be important. The voices were not shrill or menacing. They were calm and oddly natural. We moved from room to room.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Comparing the recorded sounds with the empty spaces around us, the recording showed evidence of activity that no living child should be able to produce in an abandoned building. We made our way through classrooms filled with old desks and chalkboards where echoes of laughter mingled with our own footsteps. Every room seemed to hide a secret, though nothing appeared overtly dangerous at first. Our approach remained clinical and focused solely on evidence. It was clear that the building held traces of past life, but there was no sign of immediate threat. The environment was unassuming, except for the inexplicable sounds that hinted at something beyond the ordinary. It was at that moment that we saw what we never thought we would see in life. They were children, but at the same time, they were not. Those children were not alive. They were ghosts. Their figures disappeared and appeared every second. It was like a badly filmed movie. Our team wanted to run immediately, but I stopped them. I immediately realized that there was no reason to be afraid. They were just kids. The atmosphere felt friendly, and I didn't sense a hint of evil in those kids. They were just acting like they did when they were alive. They moved through the halls as if they were simply playing, their forms barely distinct against the decaying backdrop. I recorded their movements, noting each detail in a straightforward manner. One of the children even gave a small wave as we passed. Their behavior was surprisingly normal, not aggressive or fearful. The images were clear. Small figures in simple clothing, moving with an ease that belied the building's grim surroundings. The ghost children continued their activity without hiding. They roamed the halls freely, their presence recorded as routine and unforced. Every action was documented without any attempt to add a dramatic flair or poetic description. Although their behavior was benign, there was an undercurrent of unease in the facts. The recording showed regular play, yet the setting was anything but ordinary. It was a puzzling mix of friendly apparitions and a place meant for horror. Without warning,
a figure appeared at the end of a long, poorly lit corridor. A disheveled man in a worn teacher's uniform stepped into view. His arrival was abrupt and changed the entire atmosphere in an instant. There was no buildup, just the cold, hard appearance of someone who did not belong. The moment he showed up, the ghost children scattered without hesitation. Their playful presence dissolved into silence, replaced by a feeling of oppressive tension. I made sure to capture every moment as this figure took center stage. David was alone in a classroom when the man moved in. In a single brutal motion, he reached out and attacked. The attack was crude, direct, and it left us with the undeniable truth that our investigation had turned deadly. I'm going to be honest. In that moment, we didn't care about our friend. We just got the urge to run as fast as we could. The ghost teacher's focus quickly shifted to me. I ran from the scene with nothing but raw instinct guiding me through the maze of corridors. Every step was measured against the threat that pursued me relentlessly. The building's layout offered little chance for a smooth escape. I sprinted through narrow hallways. I ran as fast as I could, thinking I might have lost the entity. Suddenly, something pushed me into the wall. He was right in front of me. The grip on my neck tightened and my vision blurred. My feet dangled above the floor as the ghostly teacher held me effortlessly. His face, twisted in an expression of pure malice, was inches from mine. I could see every grotesque detail. His sunken eyes, the decayed skin, the way his lips moved as if whispering something inaudible. My hands clawed at his grip, but it was like trying to break free from solid iron. My body weakened, my lungs burned, and just as the darkness threatened to swallow me, something changed. A chorus of high-pitched laughter echoed through the halls, followed by small frantic whispers. Suddenly, tiny hands latched onto me from all directions. The ghost children clung to my arms, my legs, even my shoulders. Their little fingers pried at the teacher's grip, their whispers turning into panicked shouts. The teacher roared, a sound that was neither human nor entirely in this world. He released me with a violent jerk, and I collapsed onto the cold, dust-covered floor, gasping for air. But the children didn't stop. They swarmed the ghostly figure, pulling at his limbs, climbing over him, their movements erratic and desperate. He tried to shake them off, but they held on with unnatural strength, their whispers growing louder, overlapping an endless tide of voices speaking in a language I didn't understand. As I stumbled to my feet, I saw the teacher's form flickering like a broken film. His rage had turned into something else, fear. He lashed out at the children, but they didn't falter. One of them, the same little girl who had waved at us earlier, turned to look at me. Her eyes, hollow and unreadable, locked onto mine for a brief second before she turned back to the teacher. And then, all at once, they were gone. The teacher, the children, the eerie voices, they disappeared as if they had never been there. The hallway was silent again, except for my own ragged breathing. But I knew better than to believe I was safe. I didn't stop to question what had happened. My instincts screamed at me to move, to get out before anything else appeared. I ran, my legs shaking, every corner of the school now feeling like a trap waiting to spring. When I reached the entrance, my heart sank. The door was shut. No, not just shut, sealed, as if it had never been an entrance at all. Panic surged through me, but I forced myself to think. There had to be another way. My eyes darted around until they landed on a shattered window at the end of the hall. Without hesitation, I ran for it. Glass sliced into my skin as I crashed through, hitting the ground outside with a painful thud. I didn't stop. I scrambled to my feet and kept running, never once looking back. I never saw my friends again. None of them made it out. Their names were never recorded. Their existence seemed to vanish along with them. No one believed my story, and eventually, I stopped telling it. Every piece of evidence we collected was lost, as if the school itself had erased all traces of our investigation. 5 years have passed since that day, but I still hear echoes of that night. Sometimes when I close my eyes, I feel small hands on my arms, tugging at me, whispering in voices that don't belong to this world. And I know, whatever happened that night, the school still remembers. And it's waiting.
Hey guys, we noticed that only a small portion of you are subscribed to the channel. If you really enjoy our stories, please follow us and like the video. It's free and it really helps us a lot to keep growing. We upload videos daily and interact a lot with our community. As we upload stories that you recommend us and once a month, we upload your own stories. And to those of you who are already subscribed, we appreciate all your likes, comments, and your constant support. You are as much a part of SSG Animations as we are. And now, back to the video.
I was never popular. In school, if you weren't strong or funny, you were just an easy target. And I was. I spent my hours buried in books, trying not to draw attention. Sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't. The shoves in the hallway, the laughter in the cafeteria, it was routine. But it was never as bad as what they did to him. Patrick was different. He didn't talk much, didn't try to make friends. He had a look in his eyes that unsettled people. Cold, empty. He always sat in the last row, away from everyone. I was one of the few who dared to be near him. Over time, we became friends, two outcasts sharing the same hell. But as the years went by, something in him changed. At first, I thought he was just fed up. He spent recess in silence, his fists clenched. His eyes followed the bullies with a strange glint. He didn't react when they yelled at him anymore, but he also didn't laugh when I tried to cheer him up. It was like something inside him was shutting down, or turning on. I went on with my life, trying to ignore the bullying, focusing on my studies. Patrick, on the other hand, was sinking deeper into his own world. Until one day, I realized he wasn't the same person anymore. In the last few weeks, Patrick barely spoke. He sat there, staring at nothing. But when he looked at someone, his face changed. It wasn't sadness. It was hate. Something inside him was boiling, waiting to spill over. I saw it in class, his fingers drumming on the desk, his gaze locked onto the ones who laughed at us. I saw it in the hallways, watching with an eerie calm as they shoved the weaker kids. And worst of all, I saw it at his house. One day, I went to pick him up to study. His mother answered the door, eyes red. She said Patrick was in his room and didn't want to talk to anyone. I went up anyway, and I found him sitting on his bed with the lights off.
"Don't go to school for a few days."
He said it without looking at me. His voice was low, firm. Something in his tone sent a chill through me. I tried to laugh it off. I asked if it was a joke. It wasn't. He stood up and walked over to his backpack. He zipped it shut carefully, like he was handling something fragile.
"Just do it. Tell your mom you're sick. Make something up. But don't go."
There was something in his voice that made my stomach twist. It wasn't a warning. It was an order. "Patrick, tell me what you're planning." He didn't answer. He walked toward the door, but I grabbed his arm. I couldn't let him leave without understanding what was going on. He yanked his arm, trying to pull it away, but I held on tighter. "Tell me, what's in the backpack?" He shoved me hard, but I didn't let go. We struggled, wrestling with each other until the backpack fell to the floor. It popped open. Among the books, I saw something that should never have been there. A gun. A long, suffocating silence filled the room. Patrick didn't move. His whole body tensed. His eyes, for the first time in a long time, showed something close to fear. Then, just as fast, his face twisted in anger. He lunged at me. He tackled me, sending both of us crashing against the desk. My back hit the edge hard, but I barely had time to react before he swung at me. His fist connected with my jaw. Pain exploded in my skull. We rolled on the floor, knocking over books and a lamp. I grabbed his wrist, trying to keep him from reaching the gun. He kneed me in the ribs. I gasped, my vision going white for a second. Patrick broke free and scrambled for the gun. My heart pounded as I pushed myself up, but by the time I did, he was already pointing it at me.
Step back!
His voice was shaking. His hand wasn't steady.
You're going to ruin everything!
I tried to speak, to reason with him, but his finger hovered over the trigger. My mouth went dry. I took a step forward. His grip tightened. He wasn't bluffing.
Don't!
He didn't say it as a threat. It was almost a plea. But there was something in his eyes that told me he had already made up his mind. I had to get out of there. I ran. Instinct, fear, whatever it was, it took over. I bolted out of his house, nearly tripping over the front steps. Patrick was right behind me. We tore through the empty streets, my heart hammering. I turned a corner into a narrow alley. Patrick tackled me from behind. We both hit the ground hard. My skin scraped against the pavement. He grabbed my shirt and yanked me up, shoving me against the brick wall.
You can't stop me now. This is what I want for once. It's already decided.
No, you don't have to do this. His expression twisted, his teeth clenched. Then, for just a second, his grip loosened. His face twitched like he was hesitating. Then he looked down. His hands trembled.
They laughed at us. They spit on us. Now they'll pay.
This isn't the way. His eyes flashed with fury. He lifted the gun. My chest tightened. Then he aimed lower. Suddenly, I heard a deafening bang. The pain was instant, blinding. I collapsed, screaming. Blood soaked my shoe, pooling onto the asphalt. Patrick looked at me for a moment longer. Then he turned and ran toward the school. He shot my foot. I writhed on the ground. The pain in my foot was unbearable. I tried to crawl, but I had no strength. I heard some footsteps approaching. A scruffy-looking man, a homeless man, stared at me, eyes wide.
Jesus, what happened to you?
Please, call the police. He turned and ran. I heard his voice shouting in the distance. Then, sirens. Red and blue lights filled the alley. A cop reached me first. He tried to calm me down, but I could barely breathe. When I mentioned the gun in the school, his face went rigid. He grabbed his radio. Minutes later, another voice crackled through. We got him. Patrick didn't get far. They caught him at the school entrance. He tried to run, but there was nowhere to go. No shots fired. No victims. Just a broken boy. Stopped before he could do something worse. They locked him up in a mental institution. I never saw him again. I spent weeks recovering. The doctor said I was lucky. It didn't feel that way. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw his face. Not the friend I once had, but the boy who pointed a gun at me. In the end, school went on. The bullies found new targets. I learned to live with a scar on my foot and a deeper one in my mind. And Patrick. Patrick disappeared. They talked about him in the school, but after a few days, he was forgotten, like he never existed. This story is based on a real psychological case involving a troubled adolescent who exhibited severe behavioral changes due to prolonged bullying and social isolation. Over time, the individual developed an increasing fixation on violent retaliation, displaying clear warning signs that went unnoticed until it was too late. Experts in forensic psychology have studied this case in depth, analyzing the factors that contributed to the subject's mental deterioration and the tragic series of events that followed. To protect the privacy of those involved, The names and certain details in this story have been modified. However, the core events and psychological patterns remain faithful to the case. I got to school late for a tutoring session. I carried my backpack and a few books, expecting a normal night of study. Nothing felt out of the ordinary. Walking through the hall, I noticed the usual deserted classrooms and quiet hallways. It was just another night at school, routine and predictable. I kept my focus on reaching the room where the session was set. There was no reason to be nervous. Inside the tutoring room, Mr. Carter waited with a wide, friendly smile. He greeted me in a simple, welcoming way. His casual demeanor made the setting seem safe and normal. I assumed this was just his usual style. I sat down, opened my notebook, and got ready to work on my assignments. I was here to study and get help with my coursework. I never expected anything to break the calm of that night. I was just ready for a regular session. Mr. Carter started by going over my assignments. His questions were all about the work at first, and I answered without hesitation. The review was straightforward and professional. Everything seemed typical for a tutoring session. Then, his question shifted. He began asking about my thoughts on death and what I believed happened after life ended. The change was sudden and off-topic. I answered briefly, trying to steer things back to school subjects. His tone grew more intense as he probed further into my ideas about mortality. He pressed for details about pain, endings, and what it meant to die. His steady look made it clear he wasn't satisfied with vague answers. I felt a chill as the conversation took this turn. I noticed that his interest in the subject wasn't academic anymore. The friendly tutor I had met was now fixated on topics that didn't belong in a study session. I clung to my homework, hoping the topic would shift back. But something was clearly wrong. The questions became invasive. Mr. Carter started breaking down my personal views on death like he was running an experiment. Every question was blunt and left no room for a simple answer. The room felt heavier with every word. He asked about my worst fears and the meaning of a painful end. I answered as plainly as possible, not knowing how to get out of the conversation. His gaze was steady and unyielding, making every reply feel like a challenge. I started to worry. I tried to check if the door was unlocked, but it was firmly shut. The realization hit me hard. I was trapped in this room with him. The situation was no longer about tutoring. It was turning dangerous. I felt a growing urge to leave. The atmosphere changed quickly. The casual session turned into an interrogation about life and death. My heart pounded as I realized I wasn't safe. The friendly tutor had become someone I couldn't trust anymore. Then, without warning, Mr. Carter stopped talking about death and lunged at me. His face lost all warmth as he advanced with a clear, violent purpose. The shift from words to action happened in seconds. I reacted as fast as I could. I dodged his grab and scrambled to get away. His movements were sharp and deliberate. I tried to push past him, but his grip was strong. The tutoring room had turned into a place of raw, physical danger. Every move he made was direct. He attacked without any hesitation, and I could see that there was no chance of talking my way out. I kicked, shoved, and did everything I could to break free. The situation was raw and violent. I realized there was no escape. The locked door confirmed that I was stuck in a brutal fight. The familiar room now held a terror that I couldn't ignore. I fought for every chance to survive, but fear kept me from fighting back as hard as I wanted to. I tried to find any way to escape while Mr. Carter continued his assault. Every move I made was met with calculated force. I banged my body against desks and chairs, desperate to create an opening. The struggle was messy and direct. For a short moment, I managed to slip behind a row of chairs. I thought I might gain a little ground, but Mr. Carter was quick. He lunged again and grabbed me with an unyielding hold. A brutal exchange left no time to plan. He drove me against the wall. I fought back, but my movements were clumsy with fear. Every blow was hard and felt like it could end it all. I knew I couldn't win this fight through strength alone. The room was filled with the sound of our struggle. There was no mercy in his attack, and I was caught in a fight that I never wanted. I was pinned, my attempts to escape growing more and more desperate by the second. Mr. Carter's grip tightened as he dragged me toward a window. The door behind me still wouldn't budge, and there was no other exit. With a sudden shove, he forced me closer to the open window on the second floor. There was no pause, no chance to react. He grabbed me firmly and tossed me out the window. The force of the throw knocked the wind out of me. I fell through the air, every second a jolt of pain and shock. I was in a free fall that I couldn't control. I crashed onto the pavement below. The impact was brutal, and my body ached with each hit. Debris and broken glass mixed with my pain. I lay there, barely conscious, not believing I was still alive. Emergency services soon arrived at the scene. Mr. Carter disappeared into the night, leaving chaos behind him. I was rushed to the hospital where every moment of that violent night echoed in my bruised body and mind. I woke up in a hospital bed, the steady beep of machines my only company. My injuries were bad, but I was slowly getting better. The doctors were surprised that I survived the fall from that window. Police arrived soon after and took Mr. Carter into custody. He thought I was dead, but I managed to hold on. The capture was quick, and he was soon facing the consequences of his actions. The authorities were determined to understand every detail. From my hospital bed, I gave a clear account of what happened. I explained how Mr. Carter had switched from a pleasant tutor to a man bent on killing me. My testimony left no room for doubt about the danger I had faced. Every detail was recorded to ensure he would be stopped. Even now, the memory of that night lingers. The trust I once had was shattered by a man I had once seen as a teacher. I survived a night of pure terror, and my story is a warning. Sometimes, the people you trust can turn into your worst nightmare. This story is based on true events that took place at Westwood Academy in Brookfield. One late tutoring session turned into a nightmare when tutor Alan Richards began asking disturbing questions about death to one of his students. In a matter of minutes, his demeanor shifted abruptly, and he attacked him. The victim was dragged to a second-floor window and thrown out, crashing onto the pavement below before being rushed to the hospital. Names have been altered to protect identities. In reality, Westwood Academy witnessed this shocking turn of events.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And Alan Richards, a man once trusted by students, revealed his true, dangerous nature.